You know, the way that they were timing their splits and walking on the stage, you can see that they're now friends. So there's a good synergy between the two of them. And they have the athleticism as dancers to be able. I mean, Crystal's moves were a little repetitive, but they were still well done. She looked amazing. So did Vanity. It was very, very equal. And unlike some of the other lip syncs we saw this week, there were no awkward reveals.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
I know. This is the problem when there are three different drag races, is that we have to look at each lip sync for your life and be like, some people are just not created equal. Like,
oh, right. Yeah.
Attention. Calling all whispering hunties. Oh, grrr.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Mijan, a semi-drag race expert.
And I'm Nick. I never watched it before, until now.
And together, we are Whispering Hunties. We're a podcast about global queer culture and drag race.
Check us out wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, Nick.
Hi, me, John.
It is so good to see you. And what I do have to say is that this is a very special week, actually. It is Trans Awareness Week, and then Trans Day of Remembrance was yesterday.
We see you.
We see you as a member of the queer community. It's really important that we remember and raise awareness, but also educate ourselves, because it's no one's job to educate you about the trans, non-binary, gender non-conforming experience, but it's something that affects us all. If they're not free, we're not free. And gender expression, gender identity is something that all sides of the spectrum deal with. And it's something that if we could all just be a little bit more okay with it, everyone would be more free. So I actually held an event yesterday that was like a gender panel with like a bunch of people that work with like children and adults. And then there was a trans man, and it was so lovely.
Cool.
You know, I know the holidays can be cheesy, or, you know, like organized awareness weeks can be cheesy, but they can also be really powerful. So
sure. Helps people feel seen. Good. Well, good to hear. Glad it was fun.
Yeah. Be an ally and be a friend. And remember that people are humans, always. That being said, what a terrible week. I've watched 3 hours of Drag Race, probably over. All the episodes are at least an hour long and change.
Yeah, you're probably looking at like 3.5 hours total.
For sure.
I say bring it on. I love it. Fill my plate up.
Oh my God. Well, my cup runneth over and I am losing my mind. Unfortunately, our guest couldn't make it today. So it's another intimate episode.
Just the Dolls.
I kind of love Just the Dolls.
The Dolls are the Dolls.
I love Just the Dolls. I think the Dolls are cute. The Dolls are fun. The Dolls are what started the pod. So I'm down with a little... What is that tree?
Oh, it's a little Charlie Brown tree. See, it's got the little peanuts, little Snoopy on it. Holidays are coming, folks. For the listeners at home, I'm holding up a little Charlie Brown tree.
As someone that cares about plants, of course, Nick has a fake tree in his house.
This is one of the only ones. Yeah. Purely branded peanuts. I think I'm going to buy a Norfolk pine, just so you know.
I really think you should. So without further ado, let's just sit back, relax, maybe get a snack,
jump,
and dip into the Whispering Hunties.
Let's teach people something super quick.
Every year, more people die from getting hit on the head with coconuts than they do from shark attacks.
Like dead?
It's not that many, because like only like one or two people, I think, die from shark attacks every year. The low teens for the coconuts.
Coconuts are hard.
Teach me something good.
Now on your local favorite podcast thing.
Yeah, all podcast things.
Hello there. Ever wonder if you're using the right service? Tooltip is a website that helps you find the right tools 10 times faster. And now it has a podcast called Tooltip Time.
We're your hosts, Mijan Zulu and Jude Brewer. Join us as we're tasked to explore different tools and, warning, sometimes things may get weird, but we'll always let you know the good, the bad, and the ugly. Our first season is about a topic that's near and dear to our hearts, podcasting. We are two people from the industry that are committed to finding the stuff that actually works so that you can make the best decision for you, your project, or your business. See you on Wednesday for Tooltip Time. You can listen to us wherever you get your podcast. So, Nick.
Oh, yeah?
It's hard to say where to start, but I just feel like the UK was just so glorious this week that we should start on a high before we get low.
Yeah. Want a little recap action?
Yes, please. Can we get a whole story report?
Yeah. Hello, Governor. Time for some more Drag Race UK series free. Yep, it's still going on. Gloria Hall, Brown Eyewitness News. Last time there was a double win and a double save, as forcing twists is the new normal. The Queens give an updated badge count, and while the sash might help Kitty, Elle of a Day is feeling like top dog. The challenge this week is the dreaded Roast Challenge, performed in front of all eliminated Queens, and everyone is on the menu. As most frequent winner, Ella decides the performing order and is fairly villainous during her interviews. At the roast, Ella's strategy proves true as Kitty does well and Crystal and Vanity struggle the most. Ella absolutely nails it and laughs are had by all. On the runway, category is Oh My Goddess. The most heavenly looks were from Vanity Milan and Kitty's Got Claws. Ella of a Day wins the challenge and yet another repeater badge. Kitty is safe and Crystal and Vanity are up for elimination. Anyone getting deja vu from Scarlett and Charity's two-week bottom run? The Queens lip-sync to Hallucinate by Dula Peep. Crystal Versace assassinates the assassin, and after 43 years, Vanity Milan is no longer in the competition. Three Queens remain, one of whom will be crowned next week, and that's the whole story.
Okay, yes, after 43 Milan, the valiant Vanity Milan has departed the show.
Yep.
And she's grown, she's been sassy, she's given us lip syncs on lip syncs.
Yep, you can't keep her down.
And we salute her.
Salute.
She did look glorious. She saved her best drag for this part of the show, for sure.
Right, exactly. Like, thank goodness she stuck around this long so we could see some, like, really nice stuff from her. Not orange after orange after orange.
Well, the angel look looked great. I mean, look, her color selection is not the best, but I did look at her husband's like fashion Instagram and some of the stuff is really cute. Like he does a lot of chain stuff. I think he make very specific costumes that drag queens wear. You know, I mean, he probably does other things as well, but like his like drag line is more like, you know, like flashy stuff with like the hanging chains and not maybe not all the challenges that you have to do in Drag Race. So it kind of explains like why maybe it's like not his best work, but when it was like his wheelhouse, he did it really well.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Right. Now that totally makes sense. I mean, and the story though is also really nice. It's so sweet.
Oh yeah, the two of them are so
like the teamwork
cute.
They've shown through this and everything. Like that's really nice.
Why? Because he made everything and Vanity showed up.
Was the muse, perhaps?
Yes, she is his muse. Also, I have to say that I'm trying to do the math, and I don't understand. Did they just not have enough drag queens for this show?
Well, this should have been 5-4. This should have been 4-3.
I know, but they injured Victoria, right? So that's lose one. Mm-hmm. But then, even though they injured Victoria, they still sent Veronica home. Then they did a double save.
Yeah.
And then a double elimination.
So there were 2 weeks where it shrank by two. Twice. That's wild.
Okay, so they were short two people, which is why they had to do a double win and then...
Exactly. Okay. This should have been like probably 5-4 and then 4 for the finale, perhaps.
So they messed themselves
up. If not, then it should have been that way. It should have been 6-5 and 5-4 that we like never got.
Yeah, I was like, if you kick too many people out of the competition, but you still have to do 10 episodes, you need to figure something out. Like, what is going on? Like, bring someone back. Give someone a second chance. I don't know.
I would have much rather had that happen than just like, oh, you both win. No one's eliminated. Everyone's having a great day, an hell of a day.
Bring back Charity Case.
You know, I would have loved that. Fashion. Have, I don't know, like even if Down Under did, like whatever, have somebody be chosen, have somebody be random. Have, oh wait, that was, yeah, UK Series 2. UK Series 2, where it was just three of the random contestants, not even all of them. Or just have Art Simone come back, you know.
Yeah, just the most deserving, yeah. Or just dial up Taste and be like, hey, do you want to come lip-sync versus Vanity Milan and give us a show?
Right, right. And we just do one-off All-Stars episode with two winners and an assassin. I don't know.
Well, this week we have the ultimate challenge of challenges, which is comedy. Because if you're not funny and you're a drag queen, I don't get it. Because if your personality is not engaging, how are you going to sell products? How are you going to be a spokesperson? How are you going to give speeches, right? It's not really a comedy challenge. It's a holding the stage in an interesting way challenge.
Oh, totally. And the two who have the most stage experience did the best, who actually host, who actually perform professionally before even drag.
And that's an interesting thing because Ella's like, oh, I don't, I've never done stand-up before. I wonder how this is going to go. And I'm like, are you sure?
Right, right.
This is...
That was perfect, though.
I was like, of all the things that never happened, this didn't happen the most. Because there's no way that you'd be this cocky and this cheeky for the entire season and never have, like, been able to stand with a mic and kind of ingratiate yourself with the audience. Mm-hmm. Ella's too quick for that.
Right. She is. I mean, she was too good at improvising. She was had really great crowd work. I mean, she just nailed it. If she wasn't there, Kitty would have won. Mm. But both of them were great. But, you know, but Ella really had him rolling the whole time.
I have to say that it's not about stand-up, but the trick with like giving a speech but also being a funny person is you don't write down your jokes. You just write down whatever it is that the thing is. Mm-hmm. So you glance down, but you're not like reading it. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that you can still play with what's happening in the moment and like comment on the person before. I think that in my experience with writing patter for cabarets, which is quite like writing a stand-up show, you know, you can monologue it out and have lines to learn, but that's going to bog you down. You just have to say, okay, in a perfect world, this is what it would sound like. Great. Now, here is topic one with bullet points. Here is topic two with bullet points. Here's topic three with bullet points. And then you do it to yourself like five times. And that's just what, it, whatever happens, is it happens in the moment.
Right. Knowing what points to hit, remember your joke. Yeah,
it's just like thought bubbles to connect, and then you remake those connections in real time, and that I think is what stand-up is really. And Ella did that so perfectly, like when she when she, it was a power move to step in front of the podium and to kind of like walk around and like point at people and, you know, to really move around the room and connect all the jokes and to build on little bits of humor. It was so wonderfully done. And I mean, walking into the finale with four wins. Oops.
Wild. Yeah, I mean, wild. I mean, really brilliant work. Well, she's really been showing up.
But this is where my conspiracy theory of like how they had to like recalibrate the show really did happen. Because it was like basically... You know, it was still the Crystal show for like half the series. Even if they weren't winning, they were like, oh, but Crystal, but you're doing better. Oh, but Crystal, oh, but Crystal.
Always attention paid. Yeah.
Always attention paid. And now they're like, well, Crystal, you know, it's just like, wow, you really have fallen from grace. And it's not that she's doing like necessarily even worse because her personality for the stand-up was good. But she did that like... She did what Naomi Smalls did. She did what Pheromone did. It's like, stop making old jokes when you're young.
Right, right. She didn't do a bad job at all. She did a good job, but it showed her inexperience. I mean, she was pretty easily rattled when people were firing back. She left too many opportunities for people to sneak in with roasts on her and feedback. But she still, for her age, still very impressive. She still... was not the worst.
Yeah. And I think like most good drag queens, I'm sure that they showed lots of promise 2 years in or whatever.
Yeah.
And not that she's been doing it for 2 years. She may have been doing it for longer. I don't know. But, you know, it's not that they didn't show promise. It's that they just needed to go out onto the road and perform in like seedy, random places, you know, with like two people, but you like entertain them for the whole time and they fall in love with you. And then, you know, you become best of friends. Like all those like weird, unique experiences that just make you into a better performer. And I think she'll get there because, I mean, her lip sync was great.
Oh, yeah, she did great. I mean, it was enough to send Vanity home. It was maybe almost double Shantae worthy. I did not expect that to happen. I didn't want it to happen, but they were, it was like a pretty good lip sync at least. But I think they knew track record wise, they were like, well, we have to send Vanity home. There's no way.
Well, this is what I mean. Like, this whole series is, of all the things that happened, this didn't happen the most. Like, that was comparably with all the other lip syncs, one of the best of the series besides Vanity's Scandalous.
Right. It's just that that lip sync was one-sided.
I know, but like, you know, the way that they were timing their splits and walking on the stage, you can see that they're now friends. So there's a good synergy between the two of them, and they have the athleticism as dancers to be able, I mean, Crystal's moves were a little repetitive, but they were still well done. She looked amazing. So did Vanity. It was very, very equal. And unlike some of the other lip syncs we saw this week, there were no awkward reveals.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
I know. This is the problem when there are three different drag races, is that we have to look at each lip sync for your life and be like, some people are just not created equal.
Oh, right. Yeah. Some people's one skill and other people's not.
It's like, I know the phrase is like, a poor man's blah, blah, blah is a rich man's blah, or something like that. Anyway, there's not enough talent to go around, basically. But I love UK. I will tip my hat to you, Nick, for calling out Ella last week. I eat my words. Kitty Scott Claus did great, but not good enough to even out the wins. So I just don't see it happening at this point.
Yeah, I think it's Ella.
Yeah,
for sure. Which I mean, she did great. She's amazing.
I'm down with it. I co-sign. Yeah. Signed, sealed, delivered. Ella, I'm yours.
And what a great name. Still one of the best of the season.
Ella the day.
Ella the day.
Well, Ella, we love you. We can't wait to see you in the finale, because we've been trying to take a break for weeks, but your goddamn drag race keeps on going. Because I think we have to cover the finale of...
Yeah, I know, okay. I know. And that's next week, so at
it's
least
a holiday
there's that.
Weekend. I wanted Thanksgiving off, but it's fine. But we are going on vacation. This is happening. But you know what? Drag Race UK, at this point, you've actually given us a pretty good show.
Second one in a calendar year, we will get a queen. they better not have, like, the next thing better be International All-Stars, and then they take a year off.
Yeah.
And then 2023 has UK season 4.
Yeah. Also, shout out to Lawrence Janey, who just won a Scottish BAFTA for Lawrence's work in Drag Race UK.
Congrats to Lawrence Janey.
Lawrence Janey, BAFTA award winner.
About to be ex-crowned queen.
Do you know what's so funny? I think at this point, some way, somehow, Drag Race is going to be one of the most awarded reality TV shows ever. If you count up all the international awards that the franchise has won.
Sure, sure. And that's queer excellence, honey.
It's human excellence. Because queer people are human people with a little something extra.
Yeah. Pizzazz.
Pizzazz. Hi, Nick. So we're going to do something a little different today, because we were just getting to know these Italian girls. Since we both, like, sneakily watched Drag Race Italia, do we have a whole storyboard for that?
Yes, we do.
Ooh, ciao, bella.
Portobello.
Oh, yeah, Portobello.
Ciao, signore e signori. Benvenuti a Drag Race Italia. Grab a bowl of spaghetti and sit back while I fill you in. Gloria Hole, Brown Eyewitness News. RuPaul said, your schedule, we're doing another one. But for the first time, we're in Italy, and I'm ready to get on that gondola, hunty. We meet our eight queens: Divinity, Farida Kant, trade, Eva Hunger, Ivana Vamp, Lerish, trade, Enorma Jean, the bearded queen, Lucretia Labamba, and Electra Bionic. The queens meet the judging panel: Chiara, Tommaso, and Priscilla, trade. Then it's on to the inaugural challenge, a photo shoot. Italian pit stop is next level hot, and I'm melting. Midway through each shot, the weather turns violent, but the queen who faces the storm most glamorously is Electra Bionic. The maxi challenge takes off like a Ferrari, as it will be an episode one design challenge themed around Italian style. Electra assigns the suitcases, and we're off to the races.
On to the main stage, the judges give full glam, and it's time for the runway. My newsworthy crafted looks were from Electrobionic, Enorma Jean, Farida Kant, and Divinity. Farida Kant wins the design challenge, and Lucretia LaBamba and Divinity must lip sync for their lives. Divinity is saved, and the queens have shaved off some of the competition as our bearded beauty, Lucretia LaBamba, is Italy's first ever eliminated drag queen. Seven queens remain. I'm going to go touch the pit crew, and oh, wait! Priscilla saves Lucretia at the last minute, and no one is eliminated. Eight queens continue to remain. I love good surprises, and that's the whole story.
Word.
Wow.
You even bait and switched me. I watched that. Yeah. I was still confused.
I know. Well, I'm happy the bearded queen didn't go home first. But I don't know about her drag yet.
I feel like you snuck around and watched this, hoping that this bearded queen was going to bring it, and then she didn't.
I know, and I was like, I don't love this, like, weird clown crafted look. I don't know. I think you got to do something a little bit more genderfuck with your drag if you're going to be bearded. You don't have to. I shouldn't even say that, because that's me putting definitions around drag. But I was taken aback. I didn't think it quite matched her, like, pop starlet that she came in with the entrance look. I thought the beard worked better, I guess, on the avant-garde clown.
Yeah. As a person that believes that all drag is drag, and that there's no one body, there's no one thing, I do have to say that if you are going to choose a specific aesthetic, your aesthetic needs to be specific.
Yeah.
It's not just enough to have a bearded queen and have like a pretty face. It has to make sense. If you're going to be androgynous, you really need to push the boundaries, because that's what you're doing. You're putting on feminine things and masculine things at the same time. Mm-hmm. And you need to accentuate them. You know, maybe you come out really muscular, but in like lingerie to like feminize the male body.
Sure.
You know, but with, or, you know, like we even like boy drag. Remember how Alyssa came on the show? And she was talking about boy drag. I don't even know how to say this. A cis male that does drag as a cis male, but it's like drag, you know?
Okay.
I can't remember the name of this drag person, drag human, drag royalty. But I looked at their Instagram and it looked great. It just, the aesthetics were there, you know? And boy makeup is baller sometimes. I mean, like, I'm not the one to like walk around in like a full face of makeup, but like, you know, sometimes I'm like, maybe a little eyeliner would be cute, you know?
Mm-hmm. But even like full face male presenting people are... It's happening more and more now. I see it regularly, I'd say. Mm-hmm.
I mean, all these drag queens don't have real eyebrows, so they...
They have to do something if they shave them off.
They're contributing to the number of men walking around with makeup on all day,
yeah.
Every day.
Or that, or wear thick-rimmed glasses, I guess. That's usually a good hider in interviews.
I just realized that that's what, like, Bob and Monet do. They just wear, like, really big glasses and, like, never have to do their eyebrows. Italy, in, like, a very brief review... I would say is like very hot men. There's a lot of trade out of drag.
Yeah. Oh my God. Priscilla. Jeez.
It was like a wet dream watching this whole show.
These beautiful Italians.
And then the fishiest of all queens walked in and won the mini challenge. And then
Electrobionic. Yeah.
Did she also win the main challenge?
Farida Kant wins the design challenge.
Oh, okay. No, you're right.
But she did really well. She did really well.
She did really well. Her runway was also good in the construction. Yeah. So it was great. I do have to say that This was like season one Drag Race quality content. The construction of the show is wonky.
Oh, I thought it felt like really traditional.
It did. They were like going back to basics, but they're not really selling like Priscilla as the star. So it's kind of like Priscilla's there to do whatever. And then these other two people are like the bigger personalities, even though Priscilla's great. But they're not investing in Priscilla's drag. This is like very like Brooklyn season one.
It feels a lot like Canada season one in that way too, because they're like splitting up the judging and the hosting between multiple people.
Yeah, but those two hosts are great. Like the two hosts seem to be like pretty funny and
Tommaso
awesome.
Tommaso has a lot of energy. And
Tommaso.
So does Chiara.
Yeah. Tommaso seems like age appropriate.
It's funny that it seems like they're kind of almost outshining personality-wise Priscilla. I mean, we'll see what else she does, but I guess you got to have a drag queen up there.
But they someone needs to I'm help glad that Priscilla there is with one. The wigs, because the wig color with the dress was not.
Yeah, right. It looked like shiny in a bad way.
Yeah, and I was like, and this is Italy.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what other looks she pulls. I mean, like, hopefully it's really good.
Italian fashion. there better be someone from Milan sourcing fabric as we speak to try and rectify the situation for
next
season.
Hopefully one of the looks is just him in a Speedo.
I mean, Priscilla out of drag was great. But that's what I mean. There's a lot of hotness on this show. Mm-hmm. I just also want to see the elevated fashion that I know is alive and well in Italy.
Yeah.
But I do have to say that, like, you know, you can sort of tell, like, the budget, you know? And so I'm like, this is a low-budget entry into the Drag Race franchise. And
their workroom is huge, though.
I don't know if, like, low-budget means you can't find studio space.
Mm-hmm. I didn't think it looked cheap or anything.
Okay, the intro was, like, kind of funny. Like, after going all around the world, like, the way that they put the clips together, I was like, can you please make RuPaul's Drag Race look like a better show?
Yeah, it was funny. They were, it's funny.
I thought
to
I was watching TV in, like,
intro.
2000.
It looked almost like a documentary was about to start.
But it looked like a documentary.
Drag Race is a thing that a lot of countries do now.
It looked like a documentary that was made in, like, 2000.
Yeah. It was not, like, glistening at
all. The quality of the clips was not right. And then they were like, let's break this down for you because you clearly know nothing. We're going to have a mini challenge and a maxi challenge. And then they're going to lip sync for their lives. And then Karevna.
Maybe they did research and it's so little known there, perhaps, that they had to be like, introduce it, really. Who knows?
No, but it is true because my experience when I was in Italy was that as an English speaker, it wasn't like you could find people who are like fluent, right? So people who are watching Drag Race are probably people who are semi-fluent or who like the content and are reading the subtitles, which means that there's a kind of barrier to entry in terms of people knowing it in general if they're making this on a service where maybe straight people might want to watch as well.
Right, right.
But I'm glad that they address toxic masculinity up front.
Yeah.
Episode one, daddies, stop discriminating against your queer children.
Right.
And also family members, like legit just shunning their queer family members.
Yeah, it's yet another highlight that as great as it is, as advanced as the queer culture is in a country with to be able to have a drag race show in that country, it still can highlight, but there are a lot of traditional mindsets that are still holding people back. As modern as it can be, still as old-fashioned as it can be.
But, okay, Drag Race Italy, welcome to the franchise. We welcome these queens. They look cute. We'll see how it goes.
Yep.
Hi, Nick.
Hi, me, John.
Could you sure betcha give us a whole story report now?
Oh, of course. Hello there, friends. Sorry, but are you finding time for all the Drag Race? Let me fill you in.
Gloria Hole, Brown Eyewitness News. Last time, the queens yeed and hawed, and we said goodbye to EU6000. But it's a new day. The lovely Amanda Bruegel introduces the mini-challenge, Artist Quick Drag, explaining paintings of their inner saboteur. Some of these queens are true artists, and others, perhaps not. Isis Cooter wins the painterly mini-challenge, and the maxi-challenge is a three-look sinner's ball, including a design challenge based on one of the seven deadly sins. Isis chooses wrath and pairs the other queens with sins of their own. The dolls get cracking and talk about pronouns, and it's off to the main stage. Brooklyn looks radical, the judges look cute as heck, and the one and only Gigi Gorgeous shows us how she got the name. First category is sex, drugs, and rock and roll. My newsworthy looks were from Geometric and Isis Couture. Next category is Ugliest Sin. The best ugliest looks were from Pythia, Geometric, and Adriana, and Kimora Amor's statement runway both gooped and inspired. Final category is Seven Deadly Sins. The looks that killed me were Pythia's gluttony, Geometric sloth, Adriana's lust, Kimora's envy, and Isis's wrath. Isis Couture wins the ball, and besties Kendall Jenner and Cynthia Kiss must lip sync for their lives to heaven. They give their all and celebrate, but the nip slip proves advantageous as Kendall Jenner is saved. Cynthia Kiss is eliminated, and the season just got a little less Taylor Swifty. Six queens remain. These recaps will soon be much shorter, and that's the whole story.
Oh my God, I'm so done. I just want to say that after watching this lip sync, I am so bored by breastplates. I don't want to see them ever again.
Yeah, they, so are the judges. They hated Adriana's boobies.
Well, I think it's like boobies for the sake of boobies. It reminds me when India Fair was like walking down the runway and she was wearing like a kind of Kim Kardashian like slinky dress. And all she did was like bounce her boobs down the runway. And it was just the most annoying thing for the judges. But they were like, oh, you really enjoyed those boobs. And it was like, it's like, I don't know.
I like when it's used for like realism or shapewear, like to provide something like that it's actually beneficial. But when it's used as like a joke like that, it's a little bit like, I don't know. It's not that funny.
I just don't think they have to be so big. like, nothing against women with big boobs that are, like, natural, or women that want to have big boobs in general, like, whatever, you live your life. But I just feel like, I always feel like drag is commentary on what is real. And, you know, realness is, like, one type of drag, but I think you can also just have the suggestion, and it's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, totally. It doesn't have to be, like, as explicit. And obviously there isn't always a taste for it being explicit.
It's also more efficient. I didn't even realize that for Crystal to have those big boobs, sorry, to go back to Drag Race UK, but for Crystal to have those big boobs, she has to have like a, I don't even know what, the, like a silicone,
a license.
Like, no, no. She has to have like a silicone, like turtleneck in order to have the boobs. And I was like, that just doesn't seem, that doesn't seem comfortable.
It like goes on like a shirt. Yeah.
It's like sweaty and nasty. And I'm just like, you don't need it. You just need a bra and you stuff it. I don't know.
Yeah. Or the ones that are like boobs on the front, but they attach like a bra.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's even that. Yeah.
But it was just, so. it made the lip sync so boring for me. And then when the nip slip happened, I was like, see,
this it didn't add anything to it. I don't know if she even did it on purpose. I don't know.
Yeah.
But
and then
I guess...
this reveal that's not a reveal where like you know that you messed up, so you just rip your costume up and then start the lip sync.
Hate it. Never the move.
I don't even want to say I hate it. I'm just like, why? You know, just like, what are we doing here? This is RuPaul's Drag Race. Just do the darn thing. Like, no.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the lip sync was like, wah, wah. And I think that Cynthia Kiss went home because, you know, it was her time. She said it.
People got to drop off. People got to leave. So it was just her time.
I think I do feel for Cynthia because I think she has kind of brought it. Like, she has a great personality. She had a great Rachel Zoe.
Yeah.
And then people came for her taste, which I guess is something that could be developed, or maybe she could hire someone for that.
Yeah, it will develop.
But I mean, I think she just doesn't, I feel like both Kendall and Cynthia kind of have the same problem. Like, they don't know what they are. So that's why I think the fashion isn't really coming through. Like,
right.
I didn't realize how slim Kendall was and how much padding Kendall adds to Kendall's body.
Yeah, she bodifies for sure.
She bodifies, but I almost feel like it's too much a little bit.
She becomes quite curvy.
She becomes quite curvy, but almost too much. So like with the dress that she was walking down the runway today, it was like the curves are too big.
dangerous curves ahead.
The curves were too big and they weren't. No, the padding didn't even make sense. You know, like the dress were like, so what did you do? It's such a question for this. Which is the rudest question. It's like, so what exactly am I looking at?
Oh my God, ouch. Well, it proves it's not clear then.
Which I think is so funny. I don't know. This was a ball challenge, which was, I love a ball.
But they only ever do a ball when the cast is still like enormous.
Yeah, I like a smaller ball.
I guess
for sure.
I guess it's just a benefit because you ask all these contestants to bring those looks and craft another one. You want to get as many outfits featured as you can, I guess. So it is why they do it on a big cast day.
Mm.
But it still is it's such a significant portion of the episode that sometimes we get a little bit less of maybe some other things.
Yeah.
I don't know. They still had time for a mini challenge.
Yeah. I mean, there's some efficient editing going on. I do have to say that I was very confused as to... I mean, they told me the name of the ball, but then when I was looking at everything, I was like, I don't even know what this ball is. I don't know what this category is. The only thing that made sense at the end was that they had to make something from scratch, and it either looked good or it didn't.
And it was like seven deadly sins.
Oh, it was, yeah, seven deadly sins.
Yeah, that was the most sinning thing of it. But the other two were what? It was ugliest sin was the middle one, and sex, drugs, and rock and roll was the first one. So that's just like a rock and roll look, an ugly look.
Yeah.
So they're not all sin. It's just kind of random.
What does ugly have to do with the seven deadly sins?
Nothing.
Okay,
seven deadly sins was only the crafting challenge, but they called it the sinner's ball because of the crafting challenge. And then they tacked on seemingly two random things, a rock and roll look and an ugly look, and called it ugly as sin and sex, drugs, rock and roll, because that's a life of sin, I guess. So they made it, they tried to tie that whole theme together, but
thank you.
The looks were also different. Yeah.
Thank you. Cause I was
confused,
confuddled, you know, just, I was like, apparently this is a ball. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I do agree with what we said last week. Pythia and Gia are definitely, like, you know, sticking their heads out there and doing mm-hmm. things right. I thought they did a great job, both in the Million Challenge and in the Maxi. I just didn't even realize that they've spread the wins 5 different ways before getting to this episode. So they're, I mean, unless you, like, really count the saves and high finishes, there is no real front runner until now.
Yeah, I think so, because it's all been pretty fair, but we really are just down to 6 after this episode. So,
but we're down to 6, and
we're moving along.
But there's only 1 front runner, and we're down to 6.
Yeah, yeah, I think Pythia most of all. But right. Normally we can pick out an easy 2, 3, 4.
And now Isis has won the ball challenge, which I think is one of the. I think it's like snatch game, ball challenge, and then a sewing challenge. That's like a magical combination because it's like funny. Mm-hmm. You can like serve multiple looks and be cohesive, mm-hmm. and
we know comedy is coming, and that's going to be a big.
Yeah.
Big decider too.
And the only people who I think are really getting that it are like Isis, Pythia, and Gia.
Yeah, I'd say so.
And so I'm like, I guess we already have our top 3. Because Isis is really killing it. Like,
oh, totally, totally. And Pythia and Geometric, I think, are really strong pretty much almost all the time. And I think Kimora is doing well, but mm-hmm. I don't think she has quite the like finished product aspect. Sometimes like the polish is not quite as like much as I'd hope. And Kendall has already like been in the bottom a lot of the time, at least like bottom 3 getting critiqued. So I hate that, but that's who's left right now. Adriana, but yeah, Adriana like has ups and downs.
Yeah, Adriana has, she's had that thing happen to her where the judges love you for like 2 seconds. And then you think that you can like gold.
And that's just what happened with Cynthia.
And then all of a sudden they're like, no, you're trash.
Yeah.
And then you're like, what's wrong with me? Yeah. I thought I have talent. Like what? Like, you know,
that just Cynthia was ups and downs and she just went home.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, but that's what Drag Race will do. It will build you up and then tear you down. And so you gotta be really careful. Cause even Isis Kuder, who's won 2 challenges, mm-hmm. has also been in the bottom.
She's been in the bottom. Yeah. That's why I think Gia and Pythia are the safest for sure.
I was so uncomfortable during Kimora's runway, even as a Black person, just watching someone in chains, in slavery garb, like walk down a runway. It was just like, oh, okay. So
at least Kimora, it was something very different and it will not be forgotten.
It was less pageant, which because Kimora comes off as very pageant.
Oh, for sure. But then to like employ like a performance art piece like that.
Yes.
Yeah. It served her well.
And I think Amanda Brugel, God bless the judges cool. this season. Because between having Tracy Melchior and Amanda Brugel talking to the contestants, they're so warm. They're so inviting. Mm-hmm. And they know how to kindly, passionately talk about things.
Yeah, they are great.
Like their hearts are open. And I love that about this lineup of judges.
There's like a decided warmth for sure.
Yeah, and Brooklyn and Carson need to stop fighting. Because that was really uncomfortable for me.
Oh, Brooklyn and...
Oh, it's not Carson. Sorry, Brad.
Brad
Carson, Goreski. Carson 2.0.
I love Brad. Brad, it seems very informative and like constructive. And so I like him a lot. More than like Ross and Carson.
Well, I think the funniest thing is that Carson Kressley was a fashion executive from like Ralph Lauren.
Before Queer Eye, yeah.
Who got his way into television as a fashion expert and then, you know, kind of rode that wave, right? Brad Goreski is a stylist who is still styling people and has made a whole career mm-hmm. out of talking about fashion. So he's very secure in his point mm-hmm. of view. And what he references. And so I think that's why him and Brooklyn are butting heads. Because Brooklyn's like, hey, I'm a drag queen. That look was sickening. I would warn that, you know? And he's like, it was not fashion. And actually, I also agree with Brooklyn on some of her comments. But I do think that some of the styling was off. Cynthia Kiss loves to wear a long blonde hair. And I'm like, but you're so slim. You could do a bob. You know, like you don't need to make your body and your head smaller. You're already... You know, and androge.
Right, yeah.
You know, well, Amazon. So it's like, you could have more fun than like a curly wig that you're wearing down. You know, it's like, just, it looks out of the bag. So like maybe swish it over, add something, put it up, updo. I don't know, something.
Yeah. Show us something, honey.
I mean, honestly, for a ball challenge, it just was a challenge. It was a challenge. A challenge happened. And Isis rose to the top, as she has been doing. And we'll see if next week will be more. But next week, we're going to have Tracy Melchior. So I'm like very excited.
I know. I'm pumped. I can't wait.
Yeah.
I love bouncing between moms like this.
But I like them both. So it's like, okay, I guess I'm watching Canada's Drag Race just to watch Amanda Brugel and Tracy Melchior.
Right. They're some of the most fun parts of it.
We'll see if the queens like make me laugh. I wish Pythia would elevate her drag just a little more because she's so artistically unique and smart and funny. And if she could just make herself seem a little bit more out of this world and not just like everything in the kitchen sink.
Right. That two-headed look, though, raised expectations, I think. So now it's like,
well, because that was elevated.
Keep topping it.
That was elevated. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Whereas like today with like the hairy leg with like the nails hanging off the thing and then the thing, I was like, this is ugly. It's the assignment, but it's not. Mm-hmm. I mean, this was basically like, be ugly, but make me like it.
Yeah. Adriana was so good in the ugliest sin. That like weird brown patchwork thing, and she's scooting around. I love that so much.
I mean,
that was hilarious.
Do I dare say this on this podcast? I thought it was like a dirty condom.
Oh, I didn't think that. But
I was like, what is that? I don't even know what it is.
I thought it was hilarious. Oh my God. I just love that she took it in such a weird goofball turn.
But that's what I mean. Just make me love it.
Yeah. It saved her from them hating the lust look.
Don't just be ugly. You know, like geometric with that gum dress was also really cool. And then like the knitted like head to toe knitwear. Oh my God. Knitwear on Drag Race does really well. People should do it more. When Katya did it, it was great. When, what's her face did it? She almost won.
Oh, Vivaldi.
Vivaldi. Thank you. Mm-hmm. When Vivaldi did it, it was sickening. It's like, awesome. You know, someone crochet.
Yeah. Learn that. Have just a crochet challenge on the show.
Oh my God. No. Do you know how long crochet takes?
Oh, yeah. Long time.
Forever. That's why, like, grandmas do it.
Do your best, girls.
Yeah.
Come on.
They make, like, one doily.
Mm-hmm. Just, where are you going to put it?
No, they make two small doilies for their nipples and then just, like, one for the crotch.
Come on.
Oh, my gosh. Well, here's to doilies. Nick, this has been such a joy. I love sitting and chatting with you, which is part of this podcast. I think the moral of the story is maybe too much drag is just enough, but, you know, we all need to elevate. And I will be elevating myself all week long.
Only one more week of three.
Yes.
Until probably in a few months, and there's five at once.
Oh, it's disgusting. Drag Race Philippines is casting, France is casting. So we're going to have like France, Canada, UK. Mm-hmm. I mean.
And then the other ones are going to keep going.
I'm so over it. It's too much Drag Race.
And season 14 is coming.
Because, yeah,
season
I mean, like.
Season 14 will be here in less than 2 months.
I'm going to be really honest. How are they going to squeeze US Drag Race, France, Australia? Like, who's going to get what months?
I know.
I don't know.
Yeah. It's rough. But I think having a couple weeks of three at once is going to be regular.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're never going to sleep again and we are overdragged. But you know what? More queer people make the world go round. So on that note, we'll see you next week, guys. Stay true to you. Bye. Bye.
Please bring hunties. It's not endorsed by World of Wonder, VH1, ICOM, Great Canada, or any of their subsidiaries. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. We both Drag Race and Canada's Drag Race and all names, pictures, all music, are registered trademarks and or cosplays. Their respective copyright holders.
Thanks for listening to the Apocalypse Podcast Network. For more great podcasts, go to apocalypsepodcastnetwork.com. And remember, every time you support one of our sponsors, you're supporting the podcast you just heard.